98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by 72 Sold. Get the price for your home at 72sold.com.
Maloney will be back on Wednesday. It's Minch, Bear, and Wolf in the Auction Community Studios this morning. So Bear takes over your Rush Hour Reboot. We give you the intellectual currency to beat down anybody who doesn't know sports like you will after the next 6 minutes of your life. Bear, go.
Well, the Suns got their second bubble win last night as they beat the Dallas Mavericks by a score of 117 to 115. Devin Booker had 30 points. He passed Amari Stoudemire, by the way, for second most 30-point games in franchise history. And what's he like, 21, 22 years old? Anyway, despite questionable officiating and being without Booker because he fouled out towards the end of the game, the Suns got the win. What were your thoughts from the game last night? What did you see from the from this team?
This is why we play the games. That's what I thought immediately. Are you kidding me? This is why we can make our predictions all day long, and base and onies, it just doesn't matter. I wanted to see the Suns compete. That's what I wanted to see. I had no expectation of them going 6-2, 7-1, whatever it may be, getting into the postseason. I had no expectation of that. The only thing I wanted to see out of the youngest team in the NBA is for them to go out and compete like it was a playoff game. Guess what? Through two games, that's what I've seen.
What I was totally amazed with is with Booker and Ayton both on the bench, the performance of Cam Carter and Cam, meaning Cam Johnson, Cameron Payne, Kaminsky, and Carter, was phenomenal. Was absolutely phenomenal. Those four men were not in remotely worried about the moment that they were just thrust into. They handled it perfectly. And that is why they won the game. Sure, you're not winning the game without Booker's 30. You're not winning the game without the Saric, who's actually Saric, who's been a disaster this year, has played well the last two games. But those four guys were not intimidated at all by the moment. And that had everything to do with why they won.
All right, let's stay positive here with all the W's and wins and great play as the Coyotes got their first playoff win since 2012. They took down the Nashville Predators 4-3. How cool is it for you guys to see, number one, the Coyotes just in the playoffs again, and number two, winning a playoff game? That was pretty cool.
No, there's no doubt about it, right? Good for them. The thing I liked the most about it was they had really, really good performances from their best players. Man, I cannot tell you, Basinonians. Gene Stallings, 1986. Google it. Big players make big plays in big games, brother. That's what he used to say. And I can tell you right now, you look at Darcy Kemper, he played big. No doubt about that in my opinion. Clayton Keller, Phil Kessel, OEL, their best players showed up. And that's what makes this team dangerous. They have some talent, and anytime you've got some talent, and then you've got Darcy Kemper, a goaltender like Kemper, who can be the best goaltender on the face of the planet, they could make a little noise.
For the Suns, it was Cam, Cameron, Carter, and Kaminsky. And for the Coyotes, it was Kessel, Kemper, and Clayton.
Nice alliteration.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We've had our fun. Back down to earth with the D-backs. Oh, boy. They dropped 3 of 4 games to the Los Angeles Dodgers over the weekend and are now 3-7 on the season. Here is manager Torrey Lovello.
These are grinding times right now, and this is these are tests. These are tests for our team and our players, and we're going to keep fighting. That's all we know how to do.
Now, Tim Kirchin was on this show not too long ago, about an hour ago, and he told you guys, don't worry just yet. It's only 10 games. I can't help it. I'm worried. Are you guys worried about the Arizona Diamondbacks?
You know what, Douglas? You go first. Because you are the guy. You are the guy right now. That's, I even asked Tim Kirchin the question for you, so you didn't have to ask him the question.
I'm not worried at all. And the reason why I'm not worried at all is because I was just wrong. They stink. I thought this was a mentally tough team. I thought this was a team made up of fighters. And that's why I said this team's going to the playoffs. I never said this team was winning the World Series or that they were better than the Dodgers or anything like that. I just thought 1 through 9, if one guy doesn't get you, the next guy will. I thought the walks were going to be high, the pitch counts were going to be high for the other team, and this team would fight tooth and nail every at-bat. And that's why I like this team going to the playoffs. And I was just wrong. There's no other way to put it. This team has zero fight in them, and I was wrong to put my faith in a bunch of guys that don't fight.
Yeah, I think by the end of next week, I think Basin Onions, we're going to see a different team. This team, I look at it on paper, it's too talented. It really is. To me, it's too talented to play the way that they are playing right now. They're 4 games under .500. I don't expect them to continue to play the way that they are. But there's only one way you can go about doing that and proving it to everyone else, and that is going out and actually playing well in front of everybody else. But my expectation is they're going to come out of this funk, hopefully sooner as opposed to later.
There ain't no damn team. It was just one man.
You might wonder, why is Bear playing a soundbite from The Rock this morning in the Rush Hour reboot? Well, from the Twitter account of ESPN's NFL insider Adam Schefter, we have XFL news, gentlemen. The XFL has been sold for $15 million to a group of buyers that includes Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Wow.
Now, is this a big deal, or is the XFL doomed to fail no matter who is running it? I kind of feel like it is.
Honestly, when you think about it right now, I can't believe they got $15 million for it. I mean, seriously. They got $15 million for it?
That was an auction.
When do you know, Basinonians, you have too much money when you're buying the XFL brand for $15
million? I totally believe in a spring league. I totally believe a spring outdoor league would be successful. And the first one that was just the Alliance of American Football was an embarrassment. It was just a lie. They did not have the money they said they did. That was just a lie. The XFL, I don't blame Vince McMahon. That's just coronavirus. A minor league, look at minor league baseball right now. A minor league cannot survive a pandemic. And how do you blame Vince for not predicting a pandemic? So I totally believe the league will work, but I don't believe it'll work in a pandemic. So you'll have to wait until this is totally clear, and that might not be in 2021. But by 2022, I believe in it. But kind of to Wolf's point, why the XFL? Doesn't that right now, whether it's fair or not, it represents failure twice. It represents one league year twice. And so why not brand your own spring league and not call it XFL? That's what I don't understand.
Man.
I mean, supposedly, though, they have great leases worked out with a lot of good stadiums, and that's really what you're buying. $15 million for some great leases. Coming up next, Suns are 2-0 in the restart. Can we actually say what we know we shouldn't say? That's next on 98.7 FM.
Playoffs.
Arizona Sports Station. Suns in action on Tuesday against the Clippers at 1 o'clock. That game tomorrow will be on ESPN 620 AM. There's two criteria the Suns need to get to actually be a playoff team. And I do count the play-in games as the playoffs, even though it's just for this year. Criteria number one, you've got to be within 4 games of the 8th seed. This is going to shock you, but the Suns are 2-0 right now.
Mm-hmm.
They fit that criteria.
Yeah.
They're there.
Yeah.
They're 4 games within the 8th seed of the Memphis Grizzlies, so they've already done that. Now, it's not locked in. They can lose that. But right now, they are locked in to being 4 games out. Criteria number 2 is to be the 9th seed. if you're not in ninth place, you don't get the play-in games against the eight seed, and the Suns have a long way to go from that. They're a half game behind New Orleans and Sacramento. They're a game and a half behind Portland, and they're only two games behind San Antonio for the nine seed. So it's still a little crazy. The math hasn't changed. We said they barely have a chance at 6-2. They could actually do it at 7-1, and they probably did do it at 8-0. They got a long way to go. They still have to go at least, you know, 4-2 the rest of the way. But it's not crazy now.
No, it isn't crazy. It really isn't. But again, I have no expectation of that. My expectation is I want to see these young guys go out and compete. That's what I want to see them do. I want to see them compete because I know once they do that, Basin Orleans, they're going to grow. They're going to grow. And that, more than anything else, is what the Suns need. They need to grow. Now, listen, would it be great if actually somehow, some way, they met the criteria, Doug Lisa? They got in? Absolutely. It'd be fantastic. Even if they didn't win a game from that point forward because of the experience. And that's why I was so jacked up. The Suns were invited to the bubble. Because I don't care how you cut it right now. Guess what? We're not one of those eight teams that were left outside of the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of the association. We're part of the league. We're part of the NBA. Just being in the bubble and going through this process right now and competing. Man, if they can turn it into a few wins, this is going to be a smashing success for Monty Williams.
It's interesting, too, because the Eastern Conference is pretty well set. So after you face the Clippers, and when I say set, I mean there's going to be movement a little bit in some of the seedings, but not really the playoff teams. After you get done with the Clippers, they play the Pacers and the Heat. Then they got Thunder and 76ers in a back-to-back next weekend. And then here's what's hilarious, Wolf. Their last game in the bubble to determine if they can really go to the playoffs is Dallas.
Yes. Yes.
And after that game, who knows what Dallas is thinking, because it was clear the whole broadcast, Eddie Johnson on Fox Sports Arizona was saying it, the whole halftime, it was being said by Tom Chambers, Dallas will just chuck up three, so they'll let you back in if you want back into this game. And that's exactly what happened, and the Suns win one of the ugliest basketball games, 117-115. And I think it was really said best by Monty of just, these guys are in these moments.
If nothing else, they understand, you know, the stuff that we say as coaches isn't just coach speak. You know, we talked about discipline a ton in the first half. You know, we were fouling guys a ton. We were giving up offensive rebounds, and we were giving up so many blowbys. So this is a moment, an experience for us to understand in environments like this, when every possession counts, the discipline has to be at a high level. But you can't play on edge, and you can't play restrict. You have to be able to play your game, but you have to understand the little things that matter. And when we have a saying, everything counts, and tonight was an everything counts. Not so much in the first half, but in the second half, we did the stuff they counted. They gave us a chance to win.
Everything counts, no doubt about it. And when everything counts, the experience that you can gain as a young player is incredible. I think of Mikal Bridges last night, right? Didn't score, I believe, until the third period. Mm-hmm. I mean, third quarter. Think about that. Didn't score until the third. He struggled, and he's been great. After taking strides forward, right, he took a step back. And I don't know why. I don't know if he was just off or if he knew the Mavericks weren't the Wizards or some scrimmage in the bubble. But he looked not as strong and not as confident as he has in this restart. And that surprised me.
The thing that was – let me go back to your other point when you talked about all the young guys. Ricky Rubio is talking about the same thing.
It's huge. When we come here, it's a ball mindset, but we show it tonight that this kind of game is going to help us grow, especially in a young team like we are. You can't practice that. You got to go through a process and you can't skip it. And coming here really helped it. And now that we're here, yeah, chances are super low, but we have chances. That's why we're here. So why not go out there, play hard, and see what happens now with two wins? Everything's good, but we know that we have to win almost all and wait for all the teams to lose, but...
I like that he's got some realism there. We know we have to almost always win, and we need a lot of teams to lose. But I feel like they have the right balance of enjoying the process and loving the moment, but not acting like that's all you're there for. You're mm-hmm. still there to win games. And they seem to have a balance correct.
Dougley's Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson played his best game that he's played since he was a pro.
19 points, 12 points.
Think about Cam Johnson right now in the game that he played.
And basically fought defensively.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, and Eddie Johnson has brought this up many times, but he's so right on the money. He's sneaky athletically, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He really is. He's a much better athlete than most people thought. And you look at him right now and the growth of Cam Johnson, it's got me all jacked up.
I think the highest level of excitement in that is nobody has any idea how any human, all of us, were going to react to a pandemic that we didn't understand. From the time of Rudy Gobert's positive test until today, think about how all of our lives have so dramatically changed.
Yeah.
And then be honest with yourself and ask this question. Have you improved? Have you improved at your job? Have you improved as a dad? Have you improved as a husband? Have you improved? The answer for Cam Johnson is yes. In a rookie season interrupted by a pandemic, he's a better player now than he was in March. And I don't know how many players you can say that at that young of an age spent that time getting better. Do I know what he did? I have no idea what he did. I can just look at the results of three scrimmages and two games in the bubble and regular season games and say, you are better than you were at the end of the regular season.
You think about this. Nobody played more minutes for the Suns than Cam Johnson. Nobody played more minutes in a game that mattered. Nobody played more minutes, 40 minutes, for Cam Johnson. And he produced. He delivered. You want to think that Cam Johnson laid his head down on the pillow that night, Basinonians, and thought to himself, I can do this. You better believe it. It's games like that, these growth spurts games where we're suddenly now you think that you're growing and it's showing and you can get better. You can mm-hmm. do it.
Absolutely. Coming up next.
Well, yes, and it's been going down for several years now.
Ooh. Should the Diamondbacks be really worried about a major piece? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Diamondbacks 3-7 so far in their first 10 games. In the new math world, if you want to say, okay, what would that be normal? Normal is we just started May, and the Diamondbacks are 8-19.
I was going to guess 8-20.
Yeah. If you want to be specific, 18.9.
Oh,
so I rounded up. I rounded up. So 8-19 are the Diamondbacks. So if you have 5 months more on the year, you're telling yourself this is going to be difficult, but you still have 5 more months. The problem is the Diamondbacks are in a weird situation where it's really kind of the same thing as what you would feel on May 1st. They stink. There should be no compliments. There's nothing positive to talk about other than three human beings, Merrill Kelly, Ketel Marte, and Christian Walker. But they still are only 2 games out of a playoff spot right now, and they've got 5 weeks to make up 2 games. Yet Wolf asked a question today, Paul, to Tim Kirkjian that kind of punches you in the face a little bit because there is zero chance this franchise is going to the playoffs if Mad Bum is average? And Wolf asked, is it a concern that Madison Bumgarner's velocity is diminishing?
Well, yes, and it's been going down for several years now, and he's not the dominant pitcher that he used to be. He's not as overpowering or as intimidating as he used to be. But when you're the Diamondbacks and you have money to spend as you did in the offseason, you're trying to make a run here, you just hope that he can refine it because he's still relatively young. And he can figure this out. But anytime velocity drops, there is a reason to worry, especially in this day and age where velocity is so, so important. So, again, let's give him a couple more starts and see how things go. But, yes, there has to be concern there because he has not been crisp so far.
Let's talk about Zach Gallen, shall we?
You don't even want to hear about that.
I mean, Tim, how about Zach Gallen, Tim?
Look, did the D-backs need an ace, a top-of-the-rotation guy? More desperately, did they need an alpha male? Yes, yes, and yes. And he seemingly checked all those boxes. Here's the thing. They just traded away an ace who was throwing 88 to 90 miles an hour in Zach Greinke. Can Mad Bum make the transition? Because we saw Greinke, wasn't it just yesterday or the day before, was throwing a perfect game through five or six, and he's still getting away with that 89 to 91 mile-per-hour cheese because he's got so much else in his arsenal, and he's a true pitcher. Can Mad Bum become that guy? Because you know who's more bewildered than anyone? Madison Bumgarner. If you remember the look on his face and his answers to the questions, he doesn't really have an explanation for the reduced velocity.
No, there's no.
That's a concern.
It.
I mean, if you want to talk about concerns with Tim Kirchner,
because he's concerned about it,
right? If the pitcher himself is concerned, Zach Greinke used to just shrug it off in one of those really awkward post-game clubhouse sessions with the media, where you know he just
it'd be nice if it was up a little bit.
Yeah, the problem right now is Mad Bum has been good and not great. Right, he's been good in two starts, not great in two starts, and we all expect him to be great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to answer your question, Polly. I guess more than anything else, I was a little interested when I heard Mad Bum say, yeah, I'm kind of at a loss about it. I was, okay, buddy. You know what? Sometimes you've got to be a little opaque when you talk to the media, and he wasn't. He was completely transparent.
The elevated pitch count would say he hasn't figured it out yet. He hasn't figured out how to get away with that sort of reduced velocity when he's hitting 90 pitches through five innings.
I just look at it as a guy that dwarfs me in stat geekdom, and a brilliant baseball historian like Tim Kirchner says, yes, you should be worried about a Diamondbacks ace. Okay. Then, to Paul's point, double down. The ace is worried about the Diamondbacks' loss of velocity. So that's a big deal. Yet, when, as soon as I say 30th in starter run support, we also know the starting pitching, depending on who we're talking about, has been either wonderful when it comes to Merrill Kelly, average most of the guys, or really bad from fourth inning on when it comes to Luke Weaver. There are issues there, and all of it's erased if the guys weren't 30th in starter run support. It is... We're not talking about a poor offense. We're not talking about a bad offense. Paul, I know you heard me say it earlier today. We're talking about an offense that has three fewer home runs than the Marlins. The Marlins, their record right now, 2-1. That's it. The Marlins played the opening weekend of the season, and they've been shut down since. And they have five home runs. The Diamondbacks have two.
Look at Saturday night alone. The Dodgers hit four home runs in nine innings. The D-backs have two home runs through nine games on Saturday night, two home runs as a team through 10 games, the lowest total in the majors, whereas they've also given up 18 home runs, the most in baseball. So that disparity right there, although that isn't the game of baseball in its entirety here in 2020, guess what? That's where the game has trended. And unless you're able to do something about that stat, you have no chance. You just don't. I mean, testing negative for COVID-19, good. But when you test negative for runs and hits and base runners and home runs, guess what? You're going to test negative four wins in baseball in 2020.
What's so mesmerizing right now for the Diamondbacks is just the fact that they have three guys in their lineup that are probably playing well right now. I think people would look at the Martes, both of them, and say they're playing well, and then Christian Woke Walker, right? I think those three guys. And then I think Zach Gallen out of their rotation, he's the one guy, Merrill Kelly. I'm sorry, Merrill
yes,
Kelly.
Kelly's been fantastic.
Absolutely. I'll throw those two guys together, Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. And then out of their bullpen, Archie's been nails, right? Mm-hmm. Archie's been nails. And Archie, of course, he's going to be like Nacho Grande. He's going to be like Jose Valverde. He's going to put two on, three on, load them up, whatever, and somehow, some way get out of it with a save. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the MO, I think, of Archie Bradley. But right now, they just don't. They have like five guys, six guys that are actually playing okay or better.
And it's the chasm between them. I mean, you labeled some guys that deserve some credit. This other massive group of people, they're not even up to below average. I mean, they are disasters right now. They are not, right now, Escobar, Peralta, Ahmed, Calhoun, Kelly, and Lamb are not major league quality players. Now, obviously, we can argue they will be, if you believe it. I don't believe it with Jake Lamb. I believe it with the other five. But these guys, they do not qualify as major league players right now. They are doing that terribly. And so it's not just... It's there's no way to put together an offense when you've got two of these guys batting after a Christian Walker. You can't start anything that way.
As a team, the D-backs are hitting 192. It's almost incomprehensible. Through 10 games a year ago, they were hitting 288. And I said it earlier, and I'll bring it up again. If this continues, and it really is more the norm than the exception, with the exception of the Martes and Walker, do you look at the preparation? Do you look at what's the one constant? And since you can't change out the roster all that much, do you make a change just for the sake of making a change and sending a message if all of a sudden the assistant or the hitting coach, they're the guys that go because of it? Is the Darnell Coles in the crosshairs if this doesn't turn around? Because it is up and down the lineup right now. When you look at poor at-bats, bad pitch recognition, going after first pitch fastballs that are out of the zone, there's some poor approaches to these at-bats.
I look up and down the team, though. The entire team looks ill-prepared. Doug Lease was talking about that very thing right there, right? I mean, look at it. It's not like the rotation. The rotation is the strength of this team. And you, it's not like those guys have been lights out.
That's what I'm worried about the most. I'm worried about
nobody's been prepared for this season.
And the problem is, by the time you get that fixed, it is too late. I don't know what happened, because you're talking about, and I won't back down from this point, a frighteningly intelligent front office. Good manager, even though he's still relatively young in his career. You've got a lot of positives here from an organizational standpoint, but when you have this many human beings all being this below average or just plain bad, it can only point to one thing. You weren't ready for the 2020 season.
The next nine games will prove you right or wrong, Doug Lease. The next nine games.
I don't know. I think I'm already proven right, because we're only talking about the preparation to get the season started. I think the next nine games are the mental test of, are you tough? Are you able to handle this level of adversity and respond from it? Because now I think the preparation's over. Like the whole talk of, hey, do you feel the pressure of trying to get off to a fast start? Do you know how important a fast start is? That's over. The fast start's already gone. April's over, in a sense. It doesn't matter. You weren't ready. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Doug, maybe that's what Torrey meant yesterday when he said, we got sucker punched in San Diego and we've yet to recover. Maybe that's what he means. Hey, clubhouse, toughen up. Get mentally tough. We lost the season opening series. Doesn't mean we've lost the season. I know it's an abbreviated season, but guess what? We can recover, but not if you guys continue to play like this, with this sort of baseball IQ and lack of intensity.
Just accept it. You lost April. What are you going to do about May?
How did this happen, though? I mean, honestly, the rotation, the bullpen, lineup?
Everything.
Not ready.
I don't know. hopefully we never have to find out again what it means to start a season in July. So now we know the Diamondbacks aren't good organizationally at starting seasons in July. Hopefully we never have to find out if they've improved on that. Coming up next, we do have one team.
Playoffs? Don't talk about
no.
Playoffs.
Coach, we will, because they're winning in the playoffs. Coyotes in the bubble. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Did you watch it? I hope you did, because there's a really good chance this is going to go well.
And now Kessel holding Dvorak. Look to get it across. A shot. They score! Clayton Keller has made it a 3-0 lead for the Coyotes.
I don't know if you heard it, Wolf, but as soon as the shot was taken, it was so weird over the fact of my daughter and I, the 15-year-old and I, watching on the couch and yelling. You could hear clear as day the Coyotes bench all yell. And it's just, it is just so strange yeah. to watch these games in the bubble and hear the players respond to a goal when, of course, they're into it, generating their own excitement and everything. But it seems like both NBA and NHL, most of the players have gotten used to competing in a bubble and generating their own energy.
Yeah, no, you're right about that, Doug Lease, honestly. You know what, honestly, speaking of the energy, to me it was the energy brought by their best players. We were talking mm-hmm. a little bit about this earlier, Doug Lease, but honestly, you've got to have that, especially in the postseason. Especially in the playoffs, your best players have got to step up and set the tone. I thought the Coyotes' best players did that yesterday.
Absolutely. Here's Rick Tocchet after the Coyotes win 4-3 in a game they had a 3-0 lead and a 4-1 lead.
You got to handle pressure by going after the pressure. Phil and Halsey and Debo, their line was great. I thought O was outstanding. You could tell that he. You know, he took charge a lot of the plays out there. Kemps was great. So, we just can't have passengers. This team, we can't afford to have four or five, six guys not have their game. We need everybody to play. And those guys really, you're right. They brought it to a different level and that's nice to see.
Colin Kessel looked like Stanley Cup winners. They looked like players that belong in a playoff.
Yeah, I was so impressed to see the way they came out. Again, the Coyotes, I'm talking about them as a team based on needs. They came out in that first period, man, and they were flying. It was skate, man, skate. This is all we used to say back with the Sabres, man. Skate! Skate, right? Especially when they had these great players and you just wanted to see them come out and give all that they had early on in that first period. That's what they did. They skated. They were physical. Isn't that right, Lawson Grouse? Oh, my goodness. Just hit. They skated. They scored as well and took control of this game in the third period. I mean, the first period. And then fought it off the rest of the way for the most part. After the second period, they went into that third period, man, and it was in a shell. So to speak.
I was watching some NHL Network during the COVID-19 break, but after the playoff seedings were announced and the format was announced, and I saw a lot of the NHL insiders picking the Coyotes to win, and there was primarily two reasons. And it was A, Kemper.
Yes.
B, Predators being head cases this year. I mean, they had a lot of negative things to say about the Predators. And it made a lot of sense. They sold me in our ArizonaSports.com column. I picked the Coyotes to win based largely on what people smarter than me were saying on some of those preview shows. But the one thing none of them addressed is how would the Coyotes handle it when it became real?
Mm-hmm.
And now that you're up 1-0, they have back-to-back games. No game today for any of our three teams. Coyotes, Suns, and Diamondbacks are all off today. But back-to-back games at 11:30 in the morning, Tuesday, Wednesday. How do you now handle it when it's really there in your face? You win game one of a five-game series. You should win. In a best of five, when you've got game one, they've got to beat you three of the next four games.
Mm-hmm.
You should win that.
See,
now, how do you handle it when it's an actual you should?
Right.
Everything's changed. It's no longer you're little the engine, you're the little engine that could. You're the underdog. Go out there. You got nothing to lose. All of those things are off now. You're the favorite. How do you handle it?
No doubt about it, Douglas. You're right on this thing. Listen, here's the reason why I like the Coyotes in these playoffs, right? To make a little bit of noise here. They've got some talent that, for the most part, has really underachieved. Would you say that's an accurate statement, Douglas?
Absolutely.
Would you agree with that right there? When you're talking about Phil Kessel, right? I think he's had a pretty blasé year for Phil Kessel, and I'm putting it lightly. Taylor Hall. Even Taylor Hall, pretty pedestrian since he's actually shown up.
Yep. And remember, he's a Hart Trophy guy.
No doubt about it.
And he's not going to get any votes for the Hart Trophy.
Clayton Keller has had a very beige kind of season, right? Didn't take the stride that I thought he was going to take. And Darcy Kuemper has been hurt. This is what makes him so dangerous. If, in fact, you tell me that Darcy Kuemper can get hot. There was a point, Basinonians, there was a point in Darcy Kemper's career where he has been the hottest goaltender on the planet. Lights out. He has that capability. If that happens again, and now suddenly you get Phil Kessel, you get Taylor Hall, you get Clayton Keller coming around and playing up to their potential, you get some of the talent playing well, this is a dangerous team.
So no games today. Coyotes, Nashville, that's at 11:30 tomorrow. You can hear that. You can watch that on Fox Sports Arizona Plus. We've got two games for you. Suns Clippers is at 1. That'll be on ESPN 620 AM. And then the Cheaters come to town. Diamondbacks and Astros, and we can't go. They were supposed to be here in April when we could have gone to the game and gone nuts. But now we've got that game for you. D-backs Astros, 6 o'clock tomorrow night right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Here's your COVID update for the day. The Marlins have actually officially had another round of negative tests. The Phillies, for the fourth straight day, have tested negative. They're going to play the Yankees. So there's good news baseball-wise. Football-wise, however, a little bit of a shock when some of the names that came out, Gardner Minshew and Matthew Stafford, quarterbacks, testing positive. And now the first head coach during the active portion of the season, second head coach overall, testing positive.
You've got a situation here where a head coach in season, in training camp, tests positive twice. And they send home Press Taylor, their quarterback's coach, because he's had exposure to Doug Peterson. And you wonder about the other people that have been in the building. Now, again, it's a head coach. So this changes things. Is it 10 days, 2 weeks before he's well? And first and foremost, you hope he's okay. That's the biggest thing, right? I think Doug Peterson is in his 50s. And let's hope he's okay.
Wow. I mean, it is. Okay, Sean Payton, you rest up, you're okay. But an NFL head coach being gone from training camp for 2 weeks?
Yeah. See, this is not the problem, right? I mean, it really isn't with the players for the most part. Their risk here is not pronounced. Mm-hmm. Their risk here, it's always about them getting it and then bringing it home to somebody in their family that could be high risk. It's always been some of the older coaches as well, right, that they could be at risk. And Doug Peterson, I would say, is Exhibit A in this. This is the danger part of about this whole pandemic story and sports. Mm-hmm. If, in fact, we come back, Doug Lease, and suddenly we come back and everyone, oh, we can't wait for football, we can't wait for baseball, we can't wait for sports, we can't wait to see these games being played once again. What's going to happen if somebody gets really, really sick?
Yeah. Cardinals do play the Eagles this year, but it's not really going – this story really won't affect them because they don't play them as long as there's no schedule changes until week 15. That's the game before Christmas.
Are we all going to sit there and say we should have brought sports back? We're glad we brought it back? Man, I'll tell you, It's a dicey situation.
Hey, after watching the NHL and the NBA, I am. That they've got it working and the bubble works. Amino Hassan, let's talk bubble. Former member of the Suns front office, ESPN front office insider. Can we buy into the Suns going to the playoffs? That's next.
Playoffs?
On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.